Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Have sex. I don't think it's bad if you do it before marriage.
My friend, no names, but she's been pregnant twice and she's pregnant again.
My mom just told me not to have sex until I'm married.
Kissing can be more intimate than having sex a lot of the time.
There's like this thing like called a purity ring. I'm gonna get it.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, today kids are dealing with issues concerning sex and sexuality at a younger age than they did even a generation ago. When a child reaches puberty, he or she is confronted with the awakening of sexual feelings and desires, and those emotions are affected quite heavily, of course, by the way sexual issues are addressed in the home, as well as in the media. Well, as parents, we have to be ready for how this storm of new emotions will impact our kids. And during the next half hour, I'll talk with national abstinence educator Lakita Garth about practical ways for making sexual purity a priority for your kids. So keep it right here for Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and during the next half hour, we've got an informative conversation for you featuring Dr. Jim Burns and Lakita Garth. She is an abstinence educator, and she is a powerful witness for the testimony of remaining sexually pure up until marriage and then keeping that sexual purity going in your marriage as well. We're going to talk about making the sexual purity of your kids a priority. This is an interview that was recorded before Lakita got married, but we recorded a couple years ago, and she has since married and has a wonderful relationship with her husband now, so she's got a powerful testimony to share. We're glad you're with us today.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about helping your kids stay sexually pure. I can't think of a better guest than Lakita Garth. Actually, one of my favorite guests. Lakita, welcome back to our program.
Oh, Jim, you're so sweet. I am so glad to be back here. I had a great time with you last time.
Well, I have the privilege periodically to seeing you speak to students, seeing you speak to youth workers, seeing you speak to parents, and you do such a great job. Television, radio, but what an incredible, courageous thing to do, to talk to kids about being sexually pure, and actually, as a young adult, saying that you've remained sexually pure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't popular. Definitely growing up, it wasn't popular. Wasn't popular in college. But now, you know, as I've gotten older, I find that my peers have experienced a lot of the consequences, the very ones who were, quote, unquote, what young people call hating on someone. They've experienced those consequences, and without exception, they've come back and said, if I had to do it all over again, I would have chosen the route that you have chosen. And so it's become easier over time. And, you know, as of now, I'm about to get married. I'm engaged. And I'm so glad that I waited. I'm so glad for my parents' influence on my life and the godly examples that I did have, the few, but they were very, very important role models in my life.
Well, I know that you've talked about your grandfather's legacy in your own life and really helped you pursue a ministry to helping teens as you deal with the whole idea of sexual abstinence and sexual purity. How did your grandfather affect your life?
Well, my grandfather affected my life in many ways. He was an example, the example that he gave in his relationship with my grandmother. They were married for over 60 years. And I'm a firm believer that if you're not modeling what you're teaching something else. Because young people, they may not remember everything you say, but they're watching everything that you do. So modeling is very important. And it also, it speaks louder than words. I used to visit my grandfather every summer. I remember we used to wake up in my grandparents' home. It was in a small town outside of Montgomery, Alabama. And we would always wonder, where is our grandfather? He'd be long gone by the time we woke up. One afternoon, I decided, you know, I'm going to ask him because I always wondered where he went. So I was about 10, 11 years old. It was probably the summer before my father passed away. And I asked him, you know, Granddaddy, where do you go in the morning? And he said, I go to talk to my best friend. And I asked, who's that? And he said, your grandmother. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard because my grandmother had been dead for like 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, okay, Grandpa is losing it. And I asked, why do you do this? And he said, because Louise was my best friend. Mm. And it was just like he slipped into a whole nother world when he started talking about my grandmother. And he used to get up at, while it was still dark, oh, dark 30 in the morning, walk 2 miles down the dirt road as the sun was coming up with his cane, you know, and his overalls, barefoot. And he'd walk 2 miles to the cemetery. And he would sit in his lounge chair next to her headstone and be there for hours and then walk 2 miles back at 90 years old.
Isn't that something? What a relationship. You know, parents today seem to be so involved in their kids' lives. And a lot of kids don't have a relationship like you had with your grandfather. But why are so many kids still struggling with maintaining sexual purity?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with obviously the culture, but there is no social standard when it comes to sexuality. This is the problem that I run across when I'm dealing with adults and dealing with kids. I speak to about 500,000 teens across the United States and around the world on waiting until you say I do, which means I do you, you do me, and we don't do nobody else. It's a novel idea, I know, to be introduced to some people. However, I think it's important. And what I find is that when I'm speaking, the adults are hearing something different than the kids. Many of the adults, the decision makers, were baby boomers who grew up in the 60s during the sexual revolution. Now, I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Y'all were crazy. And, you know, the social norm at that time was the Wally Cleaver-esque kind of community. You don't have sex until you get married. And if you do, you keep it on the sly. You don't tell anybody, that type of thing. So premarital sex was a moral issue. And so, therefore, if you know what the moral standard is, you choose to rebel against it. That is what immorality is. So consequently, these young people grow up, they become adults, have children, and they present to their children, well, sex is a beautiful thing. And that's it. Right. There are no parameters. There are no boundaries. So these kids that I'm dealing with, they're not immoral. They're amoral.
And that really is an important distinction, too, because it's not that these kids simply don't know. They don't have a boundary. They don't have a biblical worldview in which to go through their culture, their grid.
Exactly. And so when I'm speaking to them, it makes total sense to them. They're not listening through a sieve or a grid or I'm pushing my morality on them. That is the biggest accusation you're going to hear coming from the Washington guys or coming from the press, that abstinence is a moral issue. It's some type of moral constraint you're trying to put on society. But it's just very simple. You don't have sex, you don't get pregnant, you don't get a disease. That's called science. It's called science. It works every time. So these kids, when they hear this, what I'm telling them, they hear it through pragmatism, pure pragmatism. Do I really want to get a disease? Do I really want to get pregnant? All this heartbreak and the gossip and I don't want to deal with that. So they're listening from a different vantage point from the adults. The unfortunate thing is that the adults are the ones who are the problem 9 times out of 10. It's not the kids.
Isn't that fascinating? This last week, I was at a conference where I was speaking on sexuality. I was talking with kids and adults, which is an interesting mix. And I said to the kids, watch this. I said, how many of you adults had positive, healthy, value-centered sex education growing up from your parents or these kids' grandparents? 3 hands went up.
Wow.
So what I was trying to show to the kids was that, you know, the parents don't really know what to say because they didn't have the models either. And that's why we need people like you to help us as parents learn what to say to our kids. And when we come back, we're going to ask you that question. So what do you say to your kids? How do you get it started? If you haven't been one of those people who've had much of a conversation, what do you do?
This is the time to get your pen and paper out.
Exactly. This is Jim Burns. We'll be right back. We're talking with Lakeeta Garth.
And it's always a good conversation when we do have Lakeeta Garth in the studios with us. We're talking about making the sexual purity of your kids a priority. And when you think about a conversation like sex and sexuality, if you can talk with your kids about this issue, you can talk with them about anything. Get the tools you need to have that conversation. Visit our online resource center if you're not there already and learn more about Dr. Jim Burns' Purity Code book and just the whole Pure Foundation series. It's got a number of different books that will literally help you regardless of how old your kids are. We've got books for kids in the 3, 4, and 5 range about just basic understanding of the body and 6, 7, and 8 for reproduction and 9, 10 into middle school for the Purity Code and then accepting nothing less but sexual purity. All of those books are there available for you when you visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. You know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:13 that the body is not meant for sexual immorality, for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Not easy for a young person to understand. And really, during the next 12 months, 750,000 unmarried teens will become pregnant. During the next 24 hours, 4,000 abortions will be performed in the United States alone. Close to 50% of the unmarried adult population has a sexually transmitted disease. Important facts today. We are very honored to have Lakita Garth with us, and we're talking about helping your kids stay sexually pure. Lakita, right before the break, we were talking about parents, and there were a couple of parents who were struggling because they went, boy, I haven't really talked to my kids about it. I don't even know what to say. And you promised that if they took their papers and pens out, you were going to give them some ideas. What do you say to your kids, especially if you haven't really talked to your kids about sexuality?
Well, I think the first thing is to address the parent. A lot of parents feel very uncomfortable about the topic, and you know, and there are some very good reasons for that, and it's just really uncomfortable. You're talking about an adult subject with a child, and of course, being in that parental role, it creates a little bit of dissonance, so to speak. But I think a lot of times parents don't feel that they can give a standard, especially if they have violated that standard themselves. And therefore, they feel that they've been disqualified. One of the good examples that I've saw of parenting in this particular situation is a mentor of mine, Dennis and Jan Peacock. They live up in Northern California in Santa Rosa. And this couple, they actually went to Berkeley. He was a graduate student professor in the 60s. They were smoking weed, dropping acid, shacking up, living together. They were just involved in it all. And they raised three kids. All of them waited till they got married. They were very open and said, look, mom and I, we lived together before we got married. And it's literally God's grace that we're still together. But this is not the norm. And they basically presented themselves as the sexperts. Look, been there, done that, got the video t-shirt and the coffee mug sitting up on the shelf. Okay. Right. I've had more sex than all of your friends combined. Yeah. All right. And the reality is that I have the authority to say, you don't want to go down this road. Right. Because not just myself, but I have many peers who have. And you don't need to tell your kids all the gory details. Things definitely need to be age appropriate. But the first thing the parent has to do is really grapple with themselves that I must talk about this despite my own personal poor decision making in the past. That's the first thing before they even encroach this conversation.
And that's a very important topic. In fact, it's the one that is always asked when I talk on this subject with parents. They always ask, well, what about our past? And I appreciate you bringing that up. What else do you do?
Okay. The second thing is they really need to understand the urgency of why this topic is so important. You just spit out a couple of statistics. Half the sexually active single population has at least one STD. It's even worse than that in the sense that the statistics are the same in the church as they are in the world. Yeah. So just many times your listeners, oh, those are the kids in the world, and I just have to quarantine my kids from those bad influences. Sorry, let me help you out. The reality is that across the board, you know, in every category, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, teen pregnancy, abortion, we can just go down the line. We find that the Christian families that really implement some of these things I'm about to tell you are the ones who are dragging the statistic positively as far as kids being chased. And there's a couple of things that a parent needs to do. Number one, they need to state, what are the rules? That's just, you got to start right there. What are the expectations? What are the rules? When kids go into class on the first day of school, they're going to test the teacher if they don't know this teacher or this teacher doesn't have a reputation. They want to know what the rules are because they will push the boundaries. And you need to, from Jump Street, need to say that sex, number one, is a good thing. Sex is not bad. Sex is not dirty. Sex is not evil. God created sex. He said, be fruitful, multiply. Sex is a good thing because if you don't, you know, that's going to set the stage for, you know, some different issues they're going to deal with as they get older when it comes to the issue of sex.
And even from a theological background, God created male and he created female, and he didn't just say it was good. He said it's very good. So that means he created their sexuality as something
very good. Very good. You have to really set that marriage is a good thing. Sex is beautiful the way God created it within the marriage. And that is the boundary. But when marriage is discussed, when they see it on TV, gee, you know, is this couple married? You know, and it kind of like alerts the Holy Spirit in that child that the sexual activity that they're seeing, what is the context? It's good. And they need to see mom and dad engaging in, you know, appropriate affection towards one another. So sex is good. Sex is created the boundary of marriage and what their expectations are. I expect you, you know, I would love for you to remain sexually pure until marriage. Now, you don't ever want to come across to your child that if they should ever make a mistake, fall out of the graces of your of their wishes, that they're no longer loved or unaccepted. And in all things, you're going to have to build that reputation from rules you've put in the past. Whether it is, I want you to make up your bed every day, and then they don't, you know, they're punished or grounded. But there's always love and acceptance, and they have to understand that this is for a greater purpose. You have to build a reputation of grace, love, and mercy, but there are also consequences. So with that, your expectation, I expect you to remain sexually pure until marriage. Not, but if you're going to do it, here's a condom. So.
Well, you know what? I'm aware of a church that they said, you know what? We've just kind of given up, and here's a bowl on the youth pastor's desk, and you can, you know, get these condoms. And actually, I think what you're saying is it's so important. Parents need to set the pace. Parents need to lay out the foundation, but they also need to say it's good. A lot of parents just say, don't do it because it's dirty and horrible. So don't go do it.
Exactly.
But then these kids begin to experiment. And they say, no, this was a wonderful experience for them. Not right out of it. It's in sin. But it was because the parents didn't say anything about it. But no, in the context of where the scripture says, it is good when a male and a female come together and become one.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So we got to draw the line. What are the boundaries and what are the rules? And you have that overarching rule, no sex outside of marriage, but you need to create environments for them in which they can be successful in adhering to these rules. It's called things like curfew. You know, I just talked to a set of parents, the Christian parents, they didn't give their kids curfew for the prom. Oh, well, they'll just come back when they're ready. No, they don't come back when they're ready. You give them a curfew. They actually, in a city that I was in just recently, a couple of parents rented rooms in hotels for their kids. And the hotel manager refused accommodations in his hotel because there was no parent or there was no adult there. And they tried to do a lawsuit. And I would think that this manager should be commended. And so you have to give them tools, and you need to give them provide an environment that's going to help them. Things like don't be at home alone with a person of the opposite sex while your parents are not there. And even if you are there, no, you can't go in your room with the door closed, you know, with someone of the opposite sex. Now, there's some of you who are listening who are thinking, come on, this is common sense. You would be shocked at some of the conversations that I have with Christian parents. So all that being said, what are the rules? The second is you have to let them know who's in charge. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I have seen some kids run some households. Mm-hmm. And the negotiation that goes on in some of these homes, it just blows my mind that the parents are afraid to parent. If you're a parent, you have to understand that you're the parent, not their friend. Okay? Now, you want to be a friend to your kid, but most of all, you're a parent. My older brother, he said, Mom, you know, why can't we be friends like Gary and his parents? They call each other by their first name. And she said, friends, there are 6 billion people on this planet. Any one of them can be your friend. You only got one mama. You don't like the way I run this house? She picked up the phone book, threw it on the floor and said, you look up another family to go live with. And so I see that parents are afraid to parent. And the thing is, they're looking for you to parent. An Ivy League school, university, actually did a study in the year 2000. Who do kids most want to receive direction and encouragement from? What are the sources? Of the 100 names on this list, they had everyone from Michael Jordan to Bart Simpson to Britney, Madonna. I mean, you name them. They had them on this list and they had parent. Over half the kids out of 100 put parents as number one. Now that's pretty good considering you have 100 choices and over half of them. And then of course, parents filled in two or three. Now the thing is that kids most want to hear direction and correction and instruction from their parents. The amazing thing is not just that poll said that's what kids wanted, but if you look at the research, you will find that parents have more power than they really realize. And parents many times are afraid to parent because they're intimidated by media, by, oh, I can't compete with the iPod. I can't compete with the Xbox. And they're playing San Andreas and, you know, Grand Theft Auto. I can't compete with these PG-13 movies that really are NC-17 in disguise. And I can't compete. But you need to be confident that when you look at it, are the four main influences of young people: parents, peers, media, and other adult leaders like teachers and youth pastors. Parents are number one. Mm-hmm. And they need to be encouraged, equipped, and given the confidence that they can parent and not be intimidated by the external forces.
Lakita Garth, you are so right. And actually, I feel like we've just had a pep talk, but I've got to ask if you can come back for our next time. Can you come back next time?
I would love
Fabulous.
To.
Fabulous. We're talking with Lakita Garth, talking about helping your kids stay sexually pure. And this was a pep talk for parents and very, very wise, very, very good.
Good counsel today here on the Homeward Broadcast. So glad that you tuned in for it. Listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and his conversation with Lakita Garth, talking about making the sexual purity of your kids a priority. We are streaming audio at homeward.com and podcasting through iTunes. You don't have to worry about ever missing a program. But if you'd like a full-length audio CD of any of the broadcasts that you hear, remember that you can just drop us a line. Best way to do is to write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Include a gift of any amount and ask for the CD. This is actually part one of a two-part conversation. And Jim, a good discussion today on making the sexual purity of your kids a priority.
Before you can address sex and sexuality with your teen or preteen, you need to make sure that you're fostering the kind of relationship where heavy topics like this can be freely discussed. So connect with them. Take your teen out to his or her favorite restaurant. Just talk. Ask some good questions. Listen. Laugh together, but connect. Secondly, is take advantage of whatever teachable moments the media gives you. And this is a great way to connect with your kids and actually get that conversation about sex and sexuality going, because there's a very good chance that the subject is going to come up because of the media. When it does, don't just immediately condemn it or lecture them about it, but actually talk to them about it, because kids learn best when they talk, not just when you talk. You can use TV or music as a launching pad for asking your teen or preteen, again, good questions about sexuality, and then spend some time listening to what your teen has to say about it. You can learn so much, and they feel loved and they feel listened to. And then again, you can tell them what you believe. Number three is this: show your kids some of the places in the Bible where sex and sexuality are addressed. If you have a regular time of devotions with your kids, then plan a night or two where you'll actually discuss what the Bible has to say about sex and sexuality. If you don't have a regular time of devotions, then maybe this is the week to start it. And hey, why not start with a hot topic like sex and sexuality? Two passages that are important for me anyway would be 1 Corinthians 6, 18, 19, and 20, as well as 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. And those are scriptures that have a lot to say to young people about sexual purity. It is possible to raise kids who are committed to sexual purity. It's happening all over the country, but it happens when parents proactively talk to their kids about sex and sexuality, as we've been talking about all day. Here's Roger now with some more information on a couple of resources that will help you as a parent succeed in this area with your own kids.
Well, as I mentioned at the start of the program, Jim's Pure Foundation series is a collection of books that will really help you as a parent help your kids have this conversation. And one of the first books that I neglected to mention earlier is the book Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. The first book you should get in this series is the one that's written for us as parents, because most of us did not have that kind of foundation established for us by our parents in terms of education and talking to us. So why not go through a book? And there's an audio CD that goes along with that too, if you get the entire curriculum kit for Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. And you can order those materials directly online through our Homeward Online Resource Center at homeward.com. So if you're not there already, go to homeward.com as soon as the program ends, and you can take a look at the Pure Foundation series. You can order them directly through our online resource center, and you do support the Ministry of Homeward when you do order those resources from us online. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time when we continue this conversation with Lakita Garth right here on Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.